Good evening, everyone. Blessed Christmas to you. My friends, as pastor here, I wish to greet you with a blessed Christmas. And I want all of you, especially my dearest parishioners who are, and that you are loved by God. You know this because I tell you this often. And I wish you a blessed Christmas. And to all those who are visitors to us, who have come to visit family and friends in this area. And to you I say, God loves you. I hope you know that. And I hope your pastor tells you that often. And I would like to think that he would tell you also that he loves you. He does. Distant from the church. For whatever the reason, it doesn't matter now. Whatever the reason, because you are here, to you, God loves you greatly. And I am your pastor, and I love you also. I am glad that we have come and we are worshiping and praising God together on this evening. And friends, this is our third Mass this evening, and particularly with the Gospel at the 4 p.m. Mass, the people could relate in a way that others couldn't, because when it said there was no room in the inn, there was no room anywhere. Not the parking lot, not inside the church, and not even outside. It was filled, and it was wonderful to see this. And now it is very peaceful and calm, and everyone can sit, except for Wade. Wade has an allergy to late. He cannot come in here, but I can see you, brother. And if you had been at the four, there would have been 125 others with you out there. But we see you, and we will bring the Eucharist to you. We don't want you to take any risks coming in. My friends, our scriptures tell us what this evening is all about. Our first reading from of old. And the people are filled with joy because we're told God has a plan and the Savior is coming. You're going to be a redeemed people and you will be called holy. And the second reading tells us how that goes about. It talks about the rebirth. For us Christians, that's baptism. And then it says, and the Holy Spirit, that's confirmation. It's the sacraments. You will be filled. And you see the first reading then is fulfilled. You will be redeemed. You will be called a holy people. And you will be visited by God. The second reading tells us also something about God. He loves you. And he loved you first. And there's nothing you can do to stop him from loving you. Now, you can do things that are not nice that would make him cranky, right? But you cannot stop his love. And he has done this because he loves you. He is generous. And it tells us we have not merited it, and it's not possible with him. And then the gospel tells us how God's plan is put into place. And it tells us about the gift. God's gift of his love. And his love comes wrapped in an infant that has the very divinity of God within him. What a wonderful gift God gives first to us. My friends, that brings me, our professors warned us on Christmas Eve not to get too heavy in theology, because the people won't be able to handle it. You'll put them to sleep. And then they will not come back until Easter. And I don't want that. So I've been keeping it pretty light on the theology, but not with you guys. But my friends, often we know this is a season of gift giving, and that's why I brought up God gave the first one, the gift of eternal life and love. And it appeared, it's his son wrapped in human flesh. My friends, But we know this is a season of gift giving. And often when people are preparing their list of to whom they wish to give gifts, often they come across the one person whom they say, what am I going to do for that person? What am I going to give the person who has everything? So what I've been doing is flipping the question. Let us not ask, what am I going to give the person who has everything? Rather, perhaps let us ask, what does the person who has everything give to others? The answer put the meaning of Christmas right in front of us. The answer is that that person who has everything then gives everything. And the person that I'm referring to is God. The everything that God the Father has given is eternal life, love. And as I've been alluding to, he wrapped his gift, so to speak, in the humanity of his divine Son. That is what St. John had in mind when he wrote this epistle. He said, God has given us life, and this life is in his Son. God chose to give us the gift of eternal life, not in some vague way, rather in a tangible way, in a way that is very real. The incarnation of his Son, of which St. John wrote in the introduction of his first epistle. He says, this is what we proclaim to you, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked upon and our hands have touched. We speak of the word of life. They're talking about Jesus. His grace, his love, this life becomes visible. We have seen and bear witness to it, the apostles said. My friends, we give our Christmas gifts only once a year, but God continues to give us the gift of his love and eternal life every day, every Sunday, whenever we participate in the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. He gives the gift as a continuation of the incarnation, the Paschal mystery. Most people understand it as the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. But that cannot happen until that happens, the incarnation. So the Paschal mystery in its entirety is crib, cross, crown. Incarnation becomes flesh, makes his sacrifice. And while God cannot die in his divinity, he can in his humanity. This is the confoundingness that happened. My friends, God gives us the gift of his life in his Son through word and sacrament, particularly for us with the Eucharist. My friends, when we listen to the scriptures proclaimed, we hear the word of life, the very voice of Christ. When we receive the Holy Eucharist, we receive the bread of life, the life-giving body and blood of Christ. And my friends, this is what confounds me. People accept that God came in human form, that God was able to put his divinity into the very cells of Mary to produce the word incarnate. But then the Eucharist becomes a problem. If God could put divinity into human flesh, why can he not put divinity into the bread and wine, the Eucharist, as a continuation of what happened that first Christmas? You see, I find it particularly difficult to think of the divinity being put into the cell of a human, producing. That's easy. but for the God who created everything. And the scriptures tell us nothing is impossible. You see what I'm getting at? And there are no coincidences. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Even more loosely, house of food. And the description given to us in the gospel about the baby in swaddling cloths, they do that all the time. We still do that. Go see a newborn. They wrap them up tight. What was the difference? What was it that the shepherds were told? A baby in swaddling cloth in something, in a manger. The manger was known, we know it as a food box. It is the very thing that they would put hay in, that the lambs and the goats would come eat the hay out of. Jesus is born in a town called Nazareth, which means house of bread. He is laying in the food box. These are symbols of not only of who he is, but what he will do. He is going to feed his very people. You see how that works? There is no coincidence with this. My friends, the Eucharist, a great gift, the continuation of what God began with the incarnation on that first Christmas. And when we receive the Holy Eucharist, we receive the very bread of life. All of St. John's Gospel, go and read. Jesus refers to himself as the bread that has come down from heaven. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the Eucharist. My friends, for many folks, Christmas is a time of abundance and splurging with all kinds of food and drink and stuff. I suspect all of you did that before you came. No? Oh, my. That's good when Father's wrong, then. My friends, we have to be practical at some point and use caution about all the festivities with the food and the beverages and all that, because you know what they say, too much of a good thing. But my friends, however, God always offers us an abundance of his grace, his love, and surely the abundance that is. And I don't think we can ever say God gives too much of a good thing to us. Huh? In fact, we can never say we can have too much of his grace. We can have too much of his love. With each Holy Communion, we are offered the grace of growing in holiness, growing in such a way that we become more open to receive the fullness of God's life. God's gift is never limited, only our capacity to receive it. And that capacity, however, can be increased by cooperating with his grace. In this we find the true meaning of Christmas, and it is of God, in whom dwells the fullness of divinity, came to be among us. This is the simple truth of Christmas. God loves you. All that he did was for you. All that he does is for you. And you didn't have to merit any of it. He does it because he loves. Can you accept his gift then? Will you accept his gift of love and eternal life? And what is it that we do in return? That's what the world's been struggling with for 2018 years now. The greatest gift that you and I can return to our Lord is the very gift of your love, the very gift of your life lived in holiness. God desires that you love him, but he desires that you love others. He has told us, love others as yourself. What parent does not want you to treat their child with respect? You are his children, so he wants you to treat each other with respect and love and kindness. Just as Jesus' greatest gift to his father was the gift of his life, so our response to Christmas is the commitment to our baptismal promises. Fidelity to God the Father in all things. The gospel has this to say, John chapter 1, line 12, to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. Furthermore, done quoting the scripture, those who have become the children of God have become the very children of his holy church. And those children have become the children of the eternal kingdom. Speaking about you, my friends, all of this has been done for you out of love, out of kindness. And what God desires from us is simply that we love him back and we love and treat others with respect. When I think about it, Jesus comes in the form of a child, not in glory and opulence. He wasn't born in some castle, but as our creche tells us, in a stable. And he came as a child. A baby needing the care of humans. Have you thought about it that way? Babies need care. God sends his son as a baby in need of our care. And just as all babies become the central point of the mass, comes the central point of the attention of a family. So Jesus is the center of Christmas. And just as a newborn baby changes the lives of its parents, its family, so Jesus, his incarnation forever changed our world. And my friends, I know that, I'm not sure what that child's doing, but it's having fun. I've kept it as light as I could. You guys got a little heavier theology. And I know it's about presents, gifts. So I brought that in, gifts. But whose birthday are we celebrating? Jesus' birthday. Do you think he deserves to have a present, a gift? Do you get presents and gifts on your birthday? Do you get presents and gifts on your birthday? Look here. I saw you eating a candy cane. I can pull theology out of that candy cane. That candy cane is shaped in the shape of a shepherd's crook. Who's shepherds? Father Mark is pretty good at that. He likes taking all the symbols that other people use, the wreaths, eternity, the Christmas tree, evergreen life, God, the lights, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I have a whole bunch for you, but I know you can't take any more. But we're celebrating his birthday, yes? And he should have a birthday present, don't you agree? Yes. Children, don't you agree? Do you agree? Well, did you get Jesus a birthday present? No. Why not? Did you forget? Oh, come with me then. Come here for a moment with me. So, we're going to get you some healing there too for that. Is that good cast going to come off soon? Maybe?
Kind of like in 3 weeks, maybe.
What do you think Jesus would want for a birthday present?
I don't know. He kind of already has everything.
I know, doesn't he? Do you think that if I gave you something, you would go and buy him something? Now, I know it's Christmas Eve, and I know all the stores are closed, right? Is Amazon closed? Finally. They're a monster. But I'm going to tell you something. That when the three kings came and gave gifts to Jesus, remember that part of the story? When the kings came and gave, you remember what the gifts were? Myrrh. Yes, myrrh, coal, and frankincense. And while they gave it to him, we understand on Christmas Eve, we celebrate it on another day. Do you know what day that is?
Christmas?
No, what comes right after Christmas? Anyone want to help our little one? The Epiphany. And the Epiphany this year is on January 6th. So that means you have some time to get Jesus a birthday present still. And to help you with that, would you bring out my box? Do you think you can get him something with that? Are you sure? Very good. I know what he wants most is your love. But it'd be fun to go shopping for him, right? It'd be more interesting to find out what you're going to do with that. What are you going to get for him? You think mom and dad will help you with that? Okay, good. And I hope the cast comes off really, really quick. My brothers and sisters, we are celebrating not only the birthday, the incarnation of the Son, but God's great gift of love, tangible for you to always know and to see. He loves you. Love each other. Love your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. Merry Christmas. Oh, we have a Christmas gift for all of you. So I've been speaking about the baptized. All who are baptized are considered to be disciples of Jesus Christ. This book is going to help you to understand the life of the discipleship, life of a disciple, in a very tangible way, not maybe the way Father Mark talks about theology. This is going to help you. We have this gift for you as you leave, either on the tables. We ask that you take one, read it. It's a very easy read. Take one for your neighbors or some who are not here. And you know, Father Mark, with a sense of humor, take one and give it to your atheist friend. Because God loves everyone. And while they may not believe in God, God believes in them. But maybe they'll take a look at this and say, well, let me take a second look about this event that has happened. Amen? So please take one with you, a gift from our parish to all of you.